Luke chapter number 5 this morning. Reminded me of homes that I have been in. And I'll tell you, sometimes one I live in. But I do remember my cat's name and dog's name and my wife's name. That person there would be in big trouble. Luke chapter number 5, we're going to look this morning at verse 17. When we get down to verse number 32, let's all read that together. Number 32, when we get there, Luke chapter number 5 and verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch unto the midst before Jesus. Verse 20. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Right then alone should have woke them up to the fact there was something different. How did he know what I was thinking and what I was perceiving in my mind? Verse 23, Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereupon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Verse 27. And after these things, he went forth, and saw a publican named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Once again, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And they said unto him, Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers? And likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink. And he said unto them, Can you make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. Verse 36, And he spake also a parable unto them, No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old, if otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent. And the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into an old bottle, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. Verse 38, but new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. In this portion of the passage we begin to look, we're going to notice the authority of the Son of Man. We're going to see the power of God, the power to forgive sins, the power to deliver, the power to call workers, the power to deal with sinners. And as we look at this passage, now, we probably this morning will not finish this whole passage. There is so much here in these here verses that you could look at and see, but we're going to do as best we can and get as far as we can this morning with what's before us, and then pick up with it next week as we did the last couple of weeks. I believe this is the 11th, maybe the 12th Sunday that we have been in the book of Luke. From verse chapter number 1, verse 1, up to the point we've been going verse by verse, studying through the book of Luke, learning about our Lord Jesus Christ and seeing Him work in magnificent ways. So in verse 17 through 26, you see the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, to forgive sins. If you hold your place there, because we're coming right back, and flip over to Mark chapter number 2. Mark chapter number 2 and verse number 1, you'll find the same story recorded, and you'll see the comparison there. In Mark chapter number 2 and verse number 1, Mark chapter number 2 and verse number 1. We'll read down to verse number 12, and then we'll make some applications here from the Word of God. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, and so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the Word unto them. Well, I tell you, that's what we need, the Word of God. The Word of God is what's going to make a difference in our lives. Verse 3. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of fours. There was four guys here. They was carrying him upon his bed. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, that means the multitude of people that was all around, they couldn't get to him, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there was a certain, there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus blaspheme? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason these things in your hearts? Dear friend, you can't hide nothing from God. Everything is open and before God. And everything you think you've hid, and things that you think you've put under the rug and hid away, and you've hoodwinked the family, the household, the church, friends, workers, co-workers. Let me tell you something, you haven't hoodwinked God for one moment. Not for one moment. I just want you to understand that. Verse number 9. Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of palsy, I say to thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, and so much that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. I wonder why. They've never been around the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, they've seen some things before. I'll tell you, probably some strange events. You think back into the day of to Moses when he was before Pharaoh and he cast down that rod and the snake come out. The rod turned into a snake, and the sorcerers standing around, they looked at Pharaoh and said, oh, that's another Pharaoh. We've done that. They cast down theirs. But the Bible says Moses' rod that turned to a snake ate up theirs. I'm going to tell you, you get around the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, and hey, listen, 12 steps may help you, 10 steps may help you, psychiatrists may help you for a moment, for a season, but I'm going to tell you, dear friend, what will help you most of all is to get around the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, like that demoniac that was in the dark, in the tomb, cutting himself, throwing himself on the fire, calling out, trying to kill himself. When he saw Jesus, he spake with Jesus, they found him sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. Tell you what's going to help us, Lord, around our way today is that to get next to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, we've got to get next to Him. And so many people are going, running their own way, but like they're headed their own direction. They think they've got answers here, they find answers there. And Jesus warned us about that. He warned us. He said, they'll think up of a way to make another Jesus. He said, they'll say Jesus here, they'll say Jesus there. Hey, here's Jesus, there's Jesus. You know what Jesus said? Don't believe it. Don't believe. Why? Because when you get around to our Lord and Savior, you'll not see things that's never done before. He works in His own way, in His own time, and in His own power. He doesn't need help from you. He doesn't need a light switch turned on. Hey, He don't need you to take Him out of your backpack, your religious backpack. You know, Christians, we have these religious backpacks. Are these little butt packs you put around here, and you put stuff in here, and then, well, let's pull out God. We need Him. Uh-oh, pulled over by the highway patrol. We need God. Let's pull him out and say, God, and you know, I'll tell you one time I was driving. I don't know what I was doing. Oh, I know what I was doing. I was with my wife, and my wife had been wanting to go to some yard sale. She had been yard sale. I mean, had to go. She found this here dresser. She wanted a dresser on the yard sale. She wanted us to go see it. So, hey, the yard sale's going to close and we got to get down there. So we're driving through Anacoco, Louisiana. And it's 45 mile per hour speed limit. Got one little caution sign up there and one fast policeman. He's the only one. Chief of police and everything. He's the deputy, the chief, and everything. And so we're talking and I'm going along, and I must be about 55, 56 in a 45, and choo, here comes the lights. He pulls me over and begins to talk to me, and he goes to the First Baptist Church of Anacoco, and he says, what's your occupation, sir? Well, you know what I'm going to say. I'm a preacher. Oh, you know the letter of the law, don't you? You know what? Listen. Say, we can't pull God out at that time. Sir, I'm sorry. I broke not only God's law, I broke your law, the law of the land. And God granted me mercy. Oh, Lord. I was glad I never had to pull out God out of my backpack. I just owned up to what I'd done. He said, what were you doing? I said, you ain't going to believe it. If I told you, you ain't going to believe it. He said, try it. He said, my wife wanted to go to a yard sale. And I was hurrying to get to a yard sale, and we were just talking, and before I knew it, it changed from 55 to 45. He said, you're right, I won't believe it. But he said, go on about your business. He didn't write me a ticket. I'm telling you, dear friend, if you live with the Lord Jesus Christ, you walk with Him, you don't have to pull Him out of some drawer. When sickness arises, when financial difficulties arise, when emotional trials come to your life, hey, let me tell you something, He's right there. There may be a press about Him. There may be a multitude around Him. But I've always known this about my God. I don't have to wait in line to talk to Him. There may be millions around the throne of God. And He treats me like I'm His only child. Like I'm His only child. Now, here, you got this here situation going on. Jesus is inside a house. He's there. And you've got these four men. They want to get their friend, this sinner, this man of a palsy, they want a palsy. They want to get him into the house. So they carry him. They're carrying him. They're moving along. They get up there. They try to go in the door. They can't go in the door. They go around probably to the back side, try to go on the back side. The house is completely full. Like most people, whenever there's a difficult object in front of Brother Carl, you know what they do? Hey, sorry, son, we tried. Matter of fact, we're just going to lay you laying right here. You can get back the best you can. No, they didn't do that. They didn't do that. that at all. I'm going to tell you something. The helpers of the Lord Jesus Christ need to understand something, that we must find the lost, the needy, those that are in trouble, those that are without Christ, the helpless sinner. We have the hope. I hope you have the hope. I know you have the hope if you have the Word of God, because the Bible says, "These things have I written to you that you may know that you have eternal life." We don't have to hope so, maybe so, working on trying to be there. Hey, let me tell you something. You can know for a fact that you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, living in you, and you are His, and He is yours. But the helpers, we got to understand that. You and I. You and I have got to understand that it is our duty, like these four guys, to get this gentleman, to get this here guy who's sick, he can't help himself. And we got to understand, let me tell you something, that we're going to have to bear their burden sometimes. Hey, there's folks living around us that are lost without Christ, that know not Him as their personal Lord and Savior, and their lives are in a mess, and they need somebody to bear the burden, to help them, to show them the light, and to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ, not of man's opinions, but biblical sound truths. And we've got to understand that we are the helpers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't the Bible teach us that we labor together? That He is the husbandry, and we all labor together and work together, and we're to help each other, bear the burdens of each other, bear the burdens of loss and concerns of the lost. Let me tell you something, we need to slow down a little bit. Hey, life's too fast. I mean, it's just rolling on, and there's people with troubles, people with difficulties, people with problems in life, but we need to understand that, hey, we have the answer in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Let me tell you something else helpers need to understand. We got to be willing. Willing to surmount any and all hindrances, no matter the cost. Do you understand something? These men tore somebody's roof apart. These men, evidently more than just a grass roof, because they said he went through the town. They went through the town. They had to pull the tiles up and pull back the tiles, and something had to be holding up the tiles. You understand something? These men were so concerned with this man of palsy that they did not look at the cost that it was going to cause them. Because no court in the land, no judge in the land, no body of people that would oversee this here situation would say, this man of palsy was at fault. He couldn't do anything. He was stuck in his bed. But here was four men who counted the cost, and they said it was much more better that they tear this roof up, get this man to Jesus, and overcome the difficulties that were surrounding them, that they may help somebody come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. You got to quit looking at cost. You got to go, what's in it for me? Well, you know, I don't know if I can get somebody in the church. Gas is expensive. If I was to drive two blocks out of my way to go get somebody. Hey, what if you had to drive 5 miles? What if you had to carry somebody that was on the couch? You had to walk with them. What if you had to do that when you got here? Hey, there was no handicap entrance, and you had to get them on in anyway. Quit concerning yourself with material costs. Because I'm telling you, dear friend, one soul that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, His personal Lord and Savior, it's worth any cost that we could put into it. It amazes me. This week I was talking to a preacher in the church there where he pastors, was telling me that he went to the men of the church and said, listen, there's our community's growing, and there's more and more closed communities, gated communities, and it's difficult, more difficult to get in. And I found a way that we can at least get the gospel and an invitation into their house and into their hands. And it's going to cost us about $800 to put a gospel message, an invitation by mail in every house in the entire county. Every house, Brother Scott, would get this. And you know what the men in the church said? $800 is too much. Too much to get the gospel into the house of every apartment, every trailer, every condominium, every home would be the gospel message there for $800 in the entire county, and that's too much. God help us when we get that away. God help us when we're worried a little bit more about the cost of a stamp than we are for the cost of a man's soul. Well, you know, we'll mail them out and about 15% might come back. But glory to God, if one gets saved, dear friend, I'm telling you, it's worth it. $800, and we're going to fuss and whine over $800 to worry about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, and I'm telling you, there's some that could foot the bill for a whole county and wouldn't do it. Bothered, but I'm telling you what's wrong. They're not like these four men. They're not concerned. They're worried about the cost. Oh, well, we can't run the bus anymore. We can't do that. Listen, we can't knock doors. It costs me too much to get over there to the church to go and knock doors. We can't, you know, got insurance, parts, and things break down, CDLs, and so forth and so on. Different. I'm going to tell you something. We can sit around and do nothing to dry up, or we can reach out to our community, and we can have concern, we can have compassion, and we can have a heart for the things of God, and we'll see God grow our church just like we have the last 4 years. I'm telling you, we better be busy, dear friend. I'm telling you something. Help us better understand this. Christ is the only answer. It ain't our preacher, it ain't our choir, it ain't our church programs, it ain't our entertainment, it ain't our Valentine banquet. It is the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get to promoting the wrong thing. Oh, our choir is the best in town. Oh, we got the best singers in town. Oh, our preacher can tell the funniest jokes in town. Oh, our preacher looks like a gorilla in a monkey suit. Why don't you come see? Oh, let me tell you something. Hey, we need to be pointing them to Christ, dear friend. Help us, must have faith. They went through all this trouble, Brother B. And when they dropped him down, the man of palsy sitting there can't move. And Jesus said, because of their faith. Because of their faith. Dear friend, you're going to have to understand something. We've got a great God. We've got to attempt great things so God can do great things through us. And hey, I've dug it up, but I'm telling you, Pharisees and scribes, the doctors of the law, came to him. Well, we're going to have business meeting before we can do that. Well, we're going to have to, listen, let me tell you something, dear friend. If the Bible commands us to reach the lost, what more business do you think you need? If the Bible commands go into all the world and be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and reach the lost, what business do you need above that which God has already ordained in His Word? That's what they told that preacher. That's too much money. We're going to have a business meeting to discuss whether or not we can get the gospel out. Are you kidding me? We're going to have a business meeting to decide whether or not we can get the gospel out. Oh, no, dear friend. We're just going to be obedient to Scripture and get the gospel out. No matter the cost. We're not to build banks on this earth. We're not to congregate all the money that we can get and hold it in CDs and hold it into a bank account and hold it into IRAs. We're to reach the gospel with the message of Christ. We reach the world with the message of Christ. Oh, but you got the Pharisees and the doctors of the law. Listen, it ain't going to work no more. I don't know about you, but the gospel message said, until the end of all ages, I'll be with you. That's what Jesus said. Dear friend, as far as I can tell, we're still in this age. I ain't in heaven yet. Though I'd rather be, and though I want to be, and though I would, that the Lord Jesus Christ would come back before we finish this message. I'm not there. And I've got a commandment of God to be preacher and people with the Lord of this world with the gospel. What a great crowd. 17, verse 17 said there was a multitude. They come from Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present. What a great sickness. Man, think about pausing. What if that was you with Paul? What if that was you still lost? What if that was you without the Lord Jesus Christ? What if it was you that was in the forgetting community and a soul winner, a man that, a woman that was willing to go and to present a gospel message, a gospel tract, wanted to get in but couldn't get in? What if it was you that they were willing to spend just a 44, 45, 46 cent stamp to get you that message? Oh, preacher, nobody gets saved by the gospel track. It ain't worth it no more. It just ain't worth it. I'm telling you, dear friend, it's worth it. Amen. His word will not come back void.
Amen.
That's a great sickness. I'm telling you, being lost is a great sickness too. I'm telling you, no, not knowing Christ, and any moment you can spend eternity in a place called hell, I'm telling you, friend, that's a great sickness. There's that great hindrance. The doctors and lawyers of the crowd. Well, they say, what in the world is he thinking? Blasphemies. Forgive sins. Only God can do such a thing. We've done knocked that street 100 times. Ain't no need going over there. We don't been up and down, and we're not hit. Come on, quit talking crazy. If you were lost and you were in need of the gospel, you would desire somebody to come. Great faith. And with all this, what a deliverance. Thy sins are forgiven. What you say in your heart? Why reason you got in your heart? But so you will know. See, Jesus didn't even leave them without a witness. He made sure the scribes and the Pharisees understood. So that you may know that the Son of Man had power to forgive. Is it easier if I say thy sins are forgiven? Or is it easier to say, take up thy bed, arise, go and walk, and go to thy house? But so you may know, I'll do it your way. I'll do it your way. In verse 21, and the scribes and the Pharisees begin to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? At that moment, dear friend, when he spoke to them and he began to reach out to them and he began to show them their heart, because it's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. The heart is wicked above all. The heart is that where man needs to be regenerated. It's that place that a belief and faith and repentance meets each other at the same instantaneous point in time. Listen, that they realize their need for a Savior. And here are those disciples sitting around. Can you imagine the ones he called last week? Because he hadn't got to leave by then. Man. We thought fish was a man. Fish. He rebuked the Pharisees. That's what they was thinking about. Man, he got onto them scribes. Look at that. He put them in their place. I wonder how many times Peter, James, and John maybe had went to the temple. Maybe came seeking and looking. And as they got down on their face before God, there was some Pharisees standing above them. I'm glad I ain't like them stinking fishermen. I'm glad I fast every day of the week sometime, you know. I'm glad I give alms and come, and I'm glad I tithe and all. I'm glad I'm not like them. I wonder how many times. If not at all, I don't know. But there's James John. And they look at Peter. Whoa. What a saint. Tore up this man's house. He's there. And he picks up his bed immediately, and he begins to carry that, and the Bible says, glorify God. See, it's not about you. You and I, church.
Amen.
It's not about your Sunday school, my Sunday school. It's not about our choir. It's not about our bus ministry. It's not about our soul winning outreach ministry. Dear friend, it's all about God, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if we quit worrying about who gets the credit, and we just surrender and yield ourselves to the Word of God, to the call of Christ, and get busy, dear friend, we can see great, mighty things done in our community. Great and mighty things done in our community, not by us, but by the power of God. Verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors sitting by, which will come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Okay, he's able. His presence here. He's able to heal your infirmities. He's able to save your soul. He's able to comfort your need, your heartaches, your troubles, your pondering things in your mind that you cannot even understand, situations and things that have gone on in your life in the past couple of months, weeks, years, days. Who could tell? And you're pondering. I'm telling you something, Lord. Listen, there is no help, no healing outside of that which God offers through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's power. Authority. That's the kind of God you serve. One with authority. One that can heal. One that can reach. And one that gets to where we are living. And we know that to be fact because we read on down and we saw Jesus sitting with publicans and sinners. Do you remember the verse we read together? Verse 32. I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Why did he say that? Scribes and Pharisees were once again hindering. And it was, hey, what is he doing? Who does he think he is sitting with such people? Oh, Lord, think about our church. I mean, just think about our families, the situations that have gone in the hearts and lives of people around. Aren't you thinking nobody, are glad nobody's perfect around here? I mean, we wouldn't even be able to sit. If somebody with a perfect family was sitting here, we couldn't even stay. None of us could stay in here. But none of us are perfect, but we have a perfect God. And a perfect Savior. One that's willing, if we, the helpers, reach out to help. How can we touch this world if we're not willing to be involved with this world? Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Pianist is coming. Brother Carl's on his way. We're going to sing a song. I don't know your needs. I don't know where you're living, the troubles of your life. But I do know this. God knows. What do you tell those scribes and Pharisees? Why reason you in your heart? Don't sit there reasoning. Will he help or will he not help? I'm telling you, God will help. Hey, don't sit there, well, I'm lost, I'm going to go to hell, but I'll get it right next week. Don't reason in your heart that way. Hey, Jesus wants to save you right now. Today is the day of salvation. What page, brother? 375. 375, church.